Some of you may have heard of Saint Tarsicius. You should have. He's one of my favorite saints, ever since I was a young boy. My parents used to read us a story about him at night, so I know his story very well. And when I was in Rome a couple years back, I was able to visit where he's buried as well. He's buried in the catacombs of St. Callistus. Now, St. Tarsicius, for those who are unaware, lived in the 3rd century, and he had a great love for the Holy Eucharist. In fact, he was an altar server at Mass. Those were the years, keep in mind, in which the Emperor Valerian was harshly persecuting Catholics, and the Catholics, consequently, were forced to meet secretly in private houses, or at times in the catacombs, right, the underground burial grounds, to celebrate Holy Mass. Remember, the Romans were superstitious, so they didn't go to graveyards, okay? So the Catholics, who were not superstitious, celebrated Mass in the graveyards, at the tombs. Now, even the custom of taking the Eucharist to the homebound, to the sick, and to the prisoners was becoming increasingly dangerous at the time. One day, the priest at Mass asked those who were there who was prepared to take the Eucharist to the prisoners who were waiting for it. Because remember, if the priest was more identifiable as a Christian, people knew that this guy was probably a priest. If he was found with the Eucharist, it was over. Well, there was silence. Then all of a sudden, a young voice spoke up, Tarsicius. He stood up and he said, "Send me." Now, the priest was hesitant to entrust this young boy to such a great task, right? I mean, if Tarsicius was caught with the Blessed Sacrament, he'd be immediately identified as a Christian, and he could be put to death for that. "My youth," Tarsicius said out loud, "will be the best shield for the Eucharist." Right? Who would suspect a little boy? Convinced by the boy's faith, the priest entrusted to him the precious body, saying, "Tarsicius, remember that a heavenly treasure has been entrusted to your weak hands. Avoid crowded streets, and do not forget that holy things must never be thrown to dogs, nor pearls to pigs. Will you guard the sacred mysteries faithfully and safely?" "I would die rather than let go of them," Tarsicius replied to him. So Tarsicius took the Blessed Sacrament and went on his way. Now, as he was on his way, he met some friends who approached him and asked him to join them in a game they were playing. He refused. They became suspicious and insistent at his refusal and realized he was clasping something to his breast that he appeared to be protecting. They tried to pry it away from him, but in vain. The struggle became ever fiercer. They began to kick him and throw stones at him, but he did not surrender. Tarsicius soon began to bleed to death. While Tarsicius was dying on the ground, the boys had now run away, a man who knew him found him and carried him back to the priest. Tarsicius, unfortunately, was already dead when they arrived, but was still clutching to his breast a small linen bag containing the Eucharist. He was buried straight away in the catacombs of St. Callistus, and to this day you can venerate at his tomb. Tarsicius, a boy of no more than 12 years old, dared to give all that he could to our Lord, and he gave him his life. Now today we celebrate the solemnity of Corpus Christi, the most holy body and blood of our Lord, or as St. Julian Amard calls it, God's feast day. This day highlights God's gift of himself to us in the Holy Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our faith. As we know, our belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist separates us from the majority of our Christian brothers and sisters who slowly broke off from belief in the real presence over the years. Yet, we as Catholics stand firm to the belief that Christ meant what he said he meant in today's gospel, and that the bread and wine at the Last Supper become no longer bread and wine, but his body and blood, and that the first priests of the church, the apostles, We're to continue this sacred action in remembrance of him. Our whole church life is centered around the Eucharist. Right? Mass is what we do. It's central to who we are as Catholics. Why? Because we truly believe Christ becomes present and gives himself to us under the appearance of food. And it's a belief we will never compromise on. It's why live streaming masses from home is not sufficient. When he ascended into heaven, Christ told his apostles he'd be with them always until the end of the world. And if he meant what he said, he literally would be present with them each time they celebrated Mass and received Holy Communion. The Eucharist, then, is God's perpetual testimony of his love for us. God loved us so much that he humbles himself each time we gather in his church for Holy Mass. No matter what is going on in our life, no matter the stresses we have, no matter how disjointed our lives can be, the one thing that is constant in our lives is Christ's presence in the Eucharist each Sunday. Yet, as human beings, we easily take this for granted. Our lives become so busy. Our stresses are enormous. Our jobs are exhausting. Our faith can be a struggle. And Sunday tends to come and go without much thought. Despite this, however, each week, we are guaranteed 1 hour where we can take a break from our busy schedules and sit, stand, and kneel in the presence of our God here at Mass, where everything that is going on in our lives is given over to God to take care of, where God shows his love for us by veiling himself under the mere appearance of food in order to give us the strength to get through the next week and trust in him. For we have a God who is close to us. Now, admittedly, it's hard to believe in Christ's presence in the Eucharist. It takes faith. But once we do, our lives begin to change. As my seminary rector would tell us frequently, when you fall in love with God, everything will change. Falling in love with Christ in the Eucharist is up to us, though. I mean, and people do. We can come to Mass each week, and everything can stay the same. But that's because we haven't let the reality of what is taking place within this Mass sink in. That the bread and wine are changed into Christ himself. Yet when we begin to allow our hearts to accept this fact in faith, everything begins to change. How we act at home, how we act during Mass, how we act after Mass. These all change. As the Eucharist unites us to Christ, it also unites us with each other and the whole church. It deepens our awareness of our brothers and sisters in need. It deepens our awareness of our sinfulness, of our own need for God. Just as when a young man falls in love for the very first time, right, he has sort of a new spring in his step. His whole life seems to change. So too, when we begin to let our hearts fall in love with Christ in the Eucharist, our lives change. And we want to give back to him. In other words, we're inspired to live for him. For that is the fruit of true love, right? We want to express it back. After all, true love always demands a response. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas, who wrote today's sequence, when writing about the Feast of Corpus Christi, said that we should, quote, dare to give all that we can to Christ in the Eucharist. In other words, because God loved us so much by giving his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist, we should strive to express our love for him back, as two people do when they're in love. Yet, when we take a look at ourselves, we recognize that we're broken, that we're tired, that we're sinful. Our pasts haunt us. Our faith at times is weak. Nonetheless, today, we should strive to give all that we can to our Lord to express our love to him. The procession we will have today at the end of Mass is but a small sign of our love for Christ in the Eucharist and a symbol of us following after him in faith and thankfulness. We will walk with him in song, silence, and prayer. It'll be simple, but it'll be from the heart. You see, we don't need to have the holiness of Mother Teresa or John Paul II to begin giving all that we can to our Lord. Bishop Johnston of the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph, tells the story of something he witnessed in 2018. He was passing out communion one day at Mass when a woman came up in the line who was weeping. But it was clear to him that they were not tears of sadness, but tears of joy. As she came forward to receive Holy Communion, one of her tears fell and landed on the communion paten being held by the server. It caught her tear. As the bishop went back to the altar after the distribution, he carried that tear on the paten. As he would later write about that incident, quote, "What a precious gift that must have been to Jesus, this woman's tear, this woman's expression of love at receiving him the Eucharist, her love expressed in tears of gratitude and joy." We might not be able to give our Lord much, but if it's all that we have, that's a true expression of love. We should dare to give all that we can. Not all of us are called to give our lives completely, like St. Tarsicius in martyrdom, but there are much smaller ways to give of ourselves daily. For example, after we receive him in Holy Communion, we should be honest with him about our struggles, our stresses, our needs. We can give them to him in the silence of prayer. When Mass finishes, instead of immediately getting ready to leave, we can kneel down and offer thanksgiving to God for the gift of himself, for our lives, and for our faith. I've told you this before, but growing up, as soon as Mass ended, my parents would kneel down, and my mom would put her hands on her face. And that was the sign to us children, don't disturb her. She was praying. I will always remember that. Parents, do we teach our children to pray? While we may not always have a lively, concrete faith in the Eucharist, the devil sure believes. When we receive his body and blood, his life permeates us down to the very depths of our hearts. The devil knows this, so he tries every trick to keep us away from Holy Communion. And I think the fear of COVID is one of his most successful means of doing so. The body and blood of Jesus is not something to be afraid of, but to run with joy and fervent anticipation to. Further, how often do we make it a point when we're passing a Catholic church to stop in and make a visit? As Mother Teresa once said, the time you spend with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is the best time you will spend on earth. Each moment that you spend with Jesus will deepen your union with him and make your soul everlastingly more glorious and beautiful in heaven, and will help bring about an everlasting peace on earth. We take our Lord in the Eucharist for granted. I remember one time in my last parish assignment, I was bringing Holy Communion to a shut-in. Oftentimes, I'd bring communion on Sundays after Mass to those who are homebound. After I gave the host to him, he began to cry. Why? Because he missed being at Mass. If only we had the faith that he did. Praying after receiving communion, praying after Mass, making visits to the Blessed Sacrament, these are, in the end, but small things to express and grow in our faith, things that we should do out of love. Today's Feast of Corpus Christi celebrates the gift of our Lord to us under the mere appearance of bread and wine, the source and summit of our faith. Yet love always desires a response back. What ways, no matter how small, can we strive to increase our love of the Lord in the Eucharist this week? Do we dare to give all that we can?